someone who makes you feel that you're not really a Christian unless you meet their particular standards, then you have something in common with Job. Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah looks at the judgmental tirade of Zophar and how it helped Job and helps us prepare a response. From the series Tried, Tested, and Triumphant, here's David with his message, False Accusations.
And I want to thank you for joining us today as we continue our study of the book of Job. We are all the way through to the 20th chapter, and we're right in the middle of all of this anguish that's going on in Job's life as he tries to figure out why he is suffering and why God seems to be so unwilling to answer his questions. And I'm reminded that so many times when people are hurting or when they find out they have a disease they weren't expecting, something bad goes on in their life, and they cry out to God and they ask why. And I remember hearing someone say something so profound one day: it's not wrong to ask God why, it's just wrong to expect that he's obligated to give you the answer. God isn't obligated to answer our questions even any more than he answered Job's, but in time, Job found out what God was up to, and he didn't have any coaching along the way. He had to trust God all the way through the darkness until he came to the light. And I don't know about you, those are the hardest times, aren't they? When you're seeking answers, you're trying to figure out what God is up to, and nothing seems to make any sense, and you cry out to God, and it sometimes seems like he's not hearing, and God is teaching you to trust him. You know, it's easy to trust God when everything's going well and when you're in the light. It's tough when you can't see what's around the corner and you're frightened and all of that. Job is teaching us so much about learning to trust God when we can't see what he's up to. And we'll have more of that today as we open our Bibles to Job chapter 20 and 21. I just keep hounding you about this, but I don't want you to miss this opportunity. The book for the month of August that we're making available when you send a gift is the book God's Promises for When You Are Hurting, and it's meant to go along with this series. Is 58 different topics about what goes on when you're confused or lonely or when things are happening you don't expect to happen, and then what scriptures do you go to, and they're printed out in this book, 58 different topics. It's a beautiful presentation, but the content is even more beautiful than the cover, and we'd love you to have this book. All you have to do is send a gift of any size during the month of August and then ask for the book on God's Promises. Let's open our Bibles now and take the next step in the study of Job.
Monica Dickens has written a book called Miracles of Courage. And in her book, she tells the story of two-year-old David, who was being treated for leukemia at the Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. The physician in David's case, Dr. John Truman, had given the child only a 50-50 chance of surviving the illness. David underwent numerous painful treatments and blood tests, and his mother, Deborah, found it hard to watch her little boy suffer. Although David always cried during the painful treatments, he never cried in the waiting room. In fact, he knew that when he went into the clinic, Dr. Truman would stick him with needles and hurt him. Yet whenever his name was called, he would hurry in ahead of his mother, greet the nurses with a smile, and the little boy had a problem pronouncing R. So when he saw the doctor, he would wave and say, "Hi, Dr. Truman." Soon after he turned 3, David had to undergo a painful spinal tap, the removal of fluid from the lumbar region of the spinal cord. Very, very painful, excruciating thing to have. And David was scared, but he put up a front that was pretty brave. And his mother told him, "Dr. Truman has to do this, David, to make you well. I know it will hurt, but Dr. Truman only does this because he loves you." Well, the procedure was horribly painful. In fact, Deborah was in agony watching her son squirm and scream. 3 nurses had to hold the boy down. And when it was over, little David was soaked in sweat and tears. But he looked up at the doctor with trusting eyes and he said, "Thank you, Dr. Truman, for my hurting." And when I read that story, it reminded me of the spirit of Job. A man who has suffered for reasons that he cannot understand. In his pain, he has squirmed and sobbed and sweat and screamed to God. But his eyes, though full of tears, are still eyes of trust and eyes of faith and the eyes of a blameless and upright servant of God. As I have been preparing these messages on the life of Job, I have been reminded on a number of occasions of the many biblical characters that we all know about as we've studied our Bibles over the years. Biblical characters whose suffering is recorded for us in the Bible. If we examine their stories, what we will discover is that almost always there is the presence of unkind and untrue words, false accusations leveled against them. For instance, Joseph was one of two men in the Old Testament about whom there is no evil report given. At the hands of his own brothers, he was cast into a pit, then sold to some traveling slave traders. He landed on his feet in Potiphar's house, only once again to be falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of having tried to rape her. He ended up in prison and was summarily forgotten by the one man who had any opportunity to help him. He did nothing wrong. In fact, there's not one word of anything wrong that Joseph did in all the Bible. Yet he suffered greatly. Moses was constantly at the wrong end of the criticisms of the Israelites, even though God had used him to bring about their freedom from Egyptian slavery. David killed Israel's most feared enemy, only to become the hated fugitive of jealous King Saul. In a matter of just a few days, this Old Testament hero went from hero to hunted just because he was misunderstood and jealousy entered the picture. Daniel simply honored God and he ended up in the den of lions. His three friends refused to dishonor God and they ended up in the fiery furnace. Paul and Silas were beaten and thrown in jail because they preached the gospel. They were accused of sedition. And Jesus Christ was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Throughout his years of ministry on this earth, our Lord was almost daily the target of false accusations. He was accused of being an illegitimate child. He was accused of being a drunkard because he ate with sinners. He was accused of being immoral because he helped a prostitute. He was accused of being demon-possessed because he healed people. He was accused of blasphemy and sedition, and ultimately he went to the cross, and from the human perspective, he went to the cross because of the false accusations of his enemies. And it was this falsely accused Jesus who gave these words to those who today are sometimes falsely accused and maligned. Listen to his words from his sermon, we know as the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 11 and 12 says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Many of you probably have been on the wrong end of people saying stuff about you that wasn't true. I guess you should all just take a deep breath and realize you're in good company. Many of God's people have been where you are. And we're going to discover today that's again where Job is. As we open our Bibles to this portion of Scripture, before we get into it, I want to tell you I have good news and I have bad news. Let's start with the bad news. The bad news is it's Zophar again. He's back. Now, as you remember, he's the most brutal of Job's three friends. He's the most sarcastic. Someone has referred to him as Zophar the Zealot because he doesn't just criticize Job passively. He seems to enjoy it. He goes after